Olsen fakes it for pass in zone. Yes, touchdown to Greg Olsen.
Wilson just got it away. There's Keith Lee. Touchdown, Carolina.
Welcome to the Keep Sounding Podcast. This is Brian, joined by Brad and John, as always. Brad, how are you doing?
I am doing well. Drinking some Icelandic water, getting myself hydrated.
Nice. It's always a good thing, keeping yourself hydrated. Don't want you passing out mid-podcast, so that's always good.
That's right. And this is not an ad read. Icelandic is the best water, in case anybody was ever wondering what the best water is.
From Icelandic, or both.
I'm sorry, what?
Is it from Iceland or is the brand just Icelandic?
No, it's Icelandic glacial spring water from Iceland with a pH of 8.4.
Oof. I've always wondered what is. Okay, I don't know. I have no further questions.
Water is wet, John.
Water is wet. Icelandic is it says that it's Icelandic spring water and it tastes different than other brands. So I'm just going to take their word for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you been able to verify that it actually does come from Icelandic springs? Because I feel like they'll run out of water eventually.
They never lie about that. John, how are you? What kind of water are you drinking?
I'm not currently drinking any water. I will later be drinking water either out of a fountain or from my sink faucet.
Nice. Oh, well. So, at a continuation on our episode on Thomas Davis, there's a second person who's retiring on Thursday. That would be Greg Olsen. Great tight end for the Panthers. You might have heard of him. He kind of looks like Thor.
You got my tie-in. All right.
Thor, yeah. Thor looks like Greg Olsen.
Also that could be true. So, yeah, Greg Olsen... He wasn't really as much of a Panthers lifer as Thomas Davis, but he definitely deserves to be treated as one because his career in Chicago was like not really a bust. Yeah, well, it was a bust. He just wasn't used properly. I forget who their offensive coordinator was, but he was just one of those people where he just doesn't use tight ends. So like,
Mike Martz was the coach.
Mike Martz, that's it. Yeah. And they spent a first round pick on Olsen, and then they just didn't use him the way you should. So then he came to Carolina for a third round pick, which was a steal, I must say.
We stole Greg Olsen from Chicago. There is no two ways about it.
Yes. Absolutely stole him. And I think that the guy they drafted with that third round pick actually ended up on the Panthers at one point.
I don't think so. I'll have to relook it up. Keep talking. I'll tell you who it was because the Bears actually traded that pick to Miami in a package to get Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver. And then Miami traded it to the Chargers and they selected Brandon Taylor, a safety from LSU. And Brandon Taylor played 2 years in the NFL with the Chargers.
Okay. It must have been just me then. There was a linebacker that played for them that at one point people thought was like actually decent that ended up on the Panthers around the same time. So maybe that's it. Anyway, so yeah, they fleeced the Bears and then Greg Olsen came in. Originally, he played as kind of second fiddle to Jeremy Shockey. Still put up great stats in his first year.
Still the best tight end duo we have ever had.
Oh yeah,
that year we had Greg Olsen and Jeremy Shockey.
I mean, I think I would say it's probably one of the better tight end duos of all time if you consider just the pairing of the two, like take the stats out of context. I mean, there aren't many tight ends.
Like if you do the career of the two of them.
Yes. Shockey was on the end of his career, but he still played really well for us.
By the way, real quick, I need to interrupt because I'm sure somebody's like yelling at their whatever they're listening to. Lovey Smith was the coach of the Bears when Greg Olsen was there. Mike Martz was the offensive coordinator his last year there, and Ron Turner was the offensive coordinator the first 3 years. Anyway, continue the story. Correction.
I thought Brian said offensive coordinator.
Yeah. I just misremembered. I had to correct myself. I don't want to be wrong.
No, that's fine. All we know is that somebody who didn't like to use tight ends. Anyway, So Greg Olsen then went on to be the first tight end in NFL history to have three straight 1,000-yard seasons, which... nowadays is not that weird because obviously we got guys like Travis Kelce, we got George Kittle out there, among we got Darren Waller, we got many others who are like
Travis
wide
Kelce
receiver.
Did it after Greg Olsen did too, didn't he?
Yes,
like, he did it like the season
four
after.
Times now, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think Olsen was 14, 15, and 16. I think Kelce has been every year since like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, Olsen was kind of impressive because he was like the Panthers' de facto number one receiver, aside from when he played with Steve Smith. Like he just was the number one receiver, which is not wasn't common at that time, where I think he kind of helped shape the way tight ends are now used in the NFL. And granted, it also just has to do with the fact that the teams throw the ball a hell of a lot fucking more. But at the time, that was a major, major accomplishment. And he was always Cam Newton's go-to guy. Definitely improved his game as a blocker. And the only knock that I have on him is that he always fell down like as soon as he caught the ball. But you
that's not a knock. That is,
yeah,
that is his
smart. Greg Olsen, as good as a great, great Hall of Fame player, also one of the least like physical tight ends of all time with the ball in his hands, if not the least physical tight end with the ball in his hands.
He's either the fastest slow tight end or the slowest fast tight end. And I honestly don't know which one he is.
I mean, he could scoot when he was younger. I know by the end of his career, when he got like some green grass in front of him. But no, once a player got into vicinity, he was just Greg Olsen basically played two hand touch. But he just like with the acknowledgement that he had to fall down after being touched. So, yeah.
I mean, it definitely probably extended his career for sure.
Definitely probably did.
Because guys like Rob Gronkowski, who just try to power through everything, he didn't last. He was beaten up more than Greg Olsen ever was.
Because Greg never missed any games until he never missed games until the last couple of years he was here when he broke his foot. Mm-hmm. Like that was it. Like he stayed healthy.
Yeah, and no, breaking your foot isn't exactly something you can prevent with play style.
Yeah, so. Hello, Jesus. Pups.
keep talking. Don't acknowledge them.
Yeah, there's nothing that you can really do to prevent a foot break. Like that's just one of those shit happens type things. So,
right. But he was also the master of the beautiful catches. He had several really nice one-handed catches. He pretty much single-handedly saved a Panthers game by catching a ball that was severely underthrown on fourth down against the Saints and just managed to catch it. And that happened to be like the catalyst to the game-winning drive. Greg Olsen just was like, to me, he was the passing offense to me. Like Ted Ginn, obviously, you know, in the heyday of when the Panthers were really successful, like Ted Ginn was the type of guy where he would go off and catch a long touchdown, but Olsen was always the security blanket. Just a really reliable guy. Go ahead.
It was always just like, I mean, to kind of like further that, it was like the passing game, like the foundation of it was Cam Newton and Greg Olsen, and then everything else around it was kind of interchangeable around that foundation.
Yeah, and they sure like to interchange those interchangeable parts
with very
minimum. Like yes. It's like buying a brand new Ferrari, but then putting like Toyota Tercel wheels on it or whatever. But yeah, like we had Cam and we had Greg, and then we had Ted Ginn, Philly Brown, Legadu Nene. Who else did we have at wide?
Jericho Cotchery.
Saia Jiratutu. Like, yeah. Like the hall of who is that guy at wide receiver outside of Greg. And he still produced.
Yeah.
Like, that's the amazing thing is he was the one credible threat and he still produced.
Yeah. He's just one of those players where, like, There's certain receivers out there who like greatly extend their careers because they just know how to work zones. Cause like towards the end of his career, he definitely wasn't the fastest guy, but he was able to find the zones. Like he knew how to use his leverage. He knew how to find the little holes in the zones. Like he just did that masterfully. And it was something where like you came to expect it enough where I don't think we really appreciated at the time the kind of shit that he would pull off sometimes.
Yeah, he was the master of it's third and nine. I'm going to get exactly 9 yards. Like he perfected that.
But it, what was nice about Greg is that even like at the end when he started slowing down, the fact that he's so reliable, like with the hands and everything, he didn't need a lot of space. And he had at that point, but he had by that point, he had Cam's trust, where it's just like, hey, I'm not going to ever be open because I just can't get away from people anymore like I used to. But it doesn't matter. Like, as long as I can get both my hands on it, I'll hold on to it.
Yeah. And he had his fair share of circus catches, too. I mean, the one that pops out in my mind was that catch against the, I think it was Seattle in the playoffs, but he caught the ball between, like, two guys with one hand on the ball while the other guy had his hand on the ball, too. And somehow Greg came, he had to wrap his arms around the other guy's arm to catch the ball, and he somehow came down with it. It's like...
Yeah, he had one, yeah, I don't think it was the playoffs, but yeah, against Seattle was wearing their gray uniforms, I think. Over like Earl, over just like on Earl Thomas's head with one hand.
He also
favorite one was the one he caught in the end zone against Seattle that clenched the game.
Oh yeah,
I was gonna bring that up. I didn't know if we were gonna do like the favorite memory thing. Yeah, or whatever.
I've spoiled one of mine. So,
well, I guess we're doing that now. We're doing this show differently than we did.
Yeah.
Davis one. So I didn't actually get to see that one live. So that's cool. I was playing like a flag football like tournament thing. And
no.
Man, hey, like, you know, it was 2015.
I can't believe
I was, like,
you, John.
I was out of college, but it was at my college. I was in this like flag football tournament thing, and everybody that we were playing with for the most part, that was in 2015, right? That was kind of what got the ball rolling.
That was 2015,
and that kind of was the first game that kind of like really solidified the Panthers. It's like, oh, we're actually good. Panthers are actually good, because Seattle was, you know, it's Legion of Boom days, very tough to beat. Nobody ever beat the Seahawks. And I remember, like, we're watching the play by play as we're getting ready for our game, and we're like, it was just like really, really into watching this play, like the game cast on ESPN. Because that was what we had to watch. And whoever's phone refreshed first, he was like, Cam Newton, 26-yard pass, Greg Olsen, touchdown. And he like yelled it. And we're all like excited. And then most of the actual place where like the tournament was being held, it was kind of weird because you could hear people like talking about it. I'm like, well, man, I didn't think this many people cared about the Panthers. But it was like, oh. They actually got people kind of chatting about it. And I thought that was really cool.
Well, it was a big win because they –
Yeah.
It wasn't even just that they beat Seattle. They beat Seattle in Seattle, something they hadn't done since like the revitalization of Seattle with Russell Wilson and the Legion of Boom. It was fucks.
Yeah, that was back when Seattle thought we were their little brother that they could just always beat up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that play happened, the fortunes reversed.
Yeah, it was great.
And that's when
live.
Nobody was beating Seattle in Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was back in the. Oh, go ahead.
No, just good, because that was like coming into that season, and the Seahawks ended up not being as great that year. But the Seahawks had gone 11-5, 13-3, and 12-4 in each of the last 3 years, and they had been to the Super Bowl the last 2 years before. Like, they won and lost the Super Bowl in each of the previous 2 years.
Yeah, for me that was the game where my parents started watching Panthers games, because 2013 happened, but that was kind of a fluky year. And prior to that, you know, 2011, 2012, like, they were fun to watch, but not that great. 2014 fucking sucked.
That was the best year in franchise history. I will hear no argument to the contrary.
Well, but for non-Panthers fans, I should say.
Okay. I'll give you
so
that.
They wouldn't really like, if I wanted to watch the game, I had to go downstairs in the basement and watch it or whatever.
You had to go down in the basement.
Yes. Not because my parents hated being around me like most people. So they were actually watching that game with me, and they were like excited. It was awesome. Like, when that play happened, I was like fucking freaking out. I was writing the recap that year. Like, I was fucking excited. It just kickstarted one of the best years in franchise history. And it was really one of the best years of Greg Olsen's career. I mean, like, he was just unstoppable. Nobody could cover him.
Yeah, he had 1,100 yards. It was his career high. 77 catches, which was not his career high, but 77 catches, 1,104 yards, and 7 touchdowns, also career high.
Yep. I hate remembering that year because it was 6 years ago, and yeah.
What the 2015?
Yeah.
2015 year. Also, just, you know, cautionary tale of, like, you're never, like, there's no such thing as windows in the NFL.
But yeah, the Panthers took their window and shit on it, so yeah, I agree.
That's a weird way to phrase that, but yeah, I agree.
I've never heard of anybody shitting on a window, so yeah.
You heard it here first.
I want to
podcast.
So I looked this up because this is in honor of Greg Olsen, Thomas Davis Day. Well, first, I forgot to say this at the beginning. Do we think Greg Olsen agreed with the Panthers to do the one-day contract thing with Thomas Davis before or after he just tweeted, "See you there"?
I don't know. I kind of hope he did that, and then they were like, well, this will be awkward if you're not here, so do you want to come?
I just hope he was the one that was like, hey, guys, I'm going to do this too, and the Panthers are like, oh, okay, well, let's go ahead and get that order now. Like, instead of the Panthers reaching out to him, because that would just be funnier that way.
That, not to shit on your parade, but I think that most just likely what happened... Yeah, just shitting on everything.
God, Brian.
I think that most likely Olsen and Davis kind of coordinated that together. Because...
Probably.
Because those type
wear
of...
matching outfits, too.
That would be fucking awesome, actually.
That would be so fucking funny if they did.
Yeah. Well, like, I imagine those...
Stepbrothers or something?
Yeah. That would be great. Yeah, those kind of players, when they've played together for that long, like, they just end up being friends. Like, they continue to text and stuff like that. Like, and I've seen Olsen going back and forth with a lot of the former Panthers on Twitter, so I'd imagine he keeps in contact with most of the guys that were there for the majority of that window, quote unquote.
Yeah, I just think it's funnier to imagine, like, Greg Olsen just being like, hey guys, I'm coming too, and the Panthers, like, inviting himself to the party, and the Panthers having to, like, acquiesce to that.
Yeah, because you can't say no to Greg Olsen.
Yeah,
you can't be exactly. Like, well, actually, this is actually Thomas's day.
Yeah, Thomas Davis is like, now he's like a child where he's all pouty because he has to share his birthday with his brother.
He crashed his party.
Yeah. But anyway, so because it's Thomas Davis and Greg Olsen day, I looked it up. Greg Olsen has played two games against the Carolina Panthers, one of which was in 2010, and we'll get to that one. So Thomas Davis is not in that one. Greg Olsen's career stats against the Panthers.
Oh, God.
Over 100 yards total.
Over or under 100 yards total?
Mm-hmm.
Under.
I'm going to go with the under as well, because I remember the Bears game, and that was a shit show.
Yeah, that was over, the one that, like, nobody scored, wasn't it?
Or under. Offense. Okay, how about this one? Over or under 5 catches?
Over.
I'm going to go with under.
He actually had under 5 targets in the 2 games combined.
Talk about
misutilizing a weapon. Greg Olsen, total in his career against the Panthers, has 2 catches on 4 targets for 7 yards.
Wow. Well, they didn't even throw to him 5 times? Wow.
Well,
I don't remember this. I have to verify this, but apparently he had 2 catches for 7 yards against the Panthers in 2008, and he had 2 lost fumbles. So I think that was the start of the Greg Olsen not trying to break tackles anymore.
Yeah, do you know who forced his first career fumble? Fun fact. Do you know who forced Greg Olsen's first career fumble?
Thomas Davis.
Thomas Davis forced Greg Olsen's first career fumble.
There we go.
Did he play 3 games or did he play 2 games?
2. He did it in 2008.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Wow. That's funny.
Yeah. There's a little full, but everything comes full circle. But yeah, we need to revisit this whenever we possibly can. The game where Greg Olsen had 0 catches on 2 targets was the game where Todd Collins went 6-for-16 for 32 yards and 4 interceptions and won the game.
I honestly believe...
By 17 points.
I honestly believe, and I don't have any problem with someone proving me wrong, that has to be the worst game in Panthers history.
Yes, by a very...
By a lot.
By football, like, in football history?
Yeah, in Panthers
No, football just history. Football.
Or in football history, probably too. Like,
it's up there.
Like that. It's almost hard to believe that it happened. I remember watching it live. And I'm like, there is no way that this score, this is real.
I remember, go ahead.
It is a football game in the year 2010 with good weather. It was in October and it was in Charlotte. So, and I know it wasn't raining. So yeah. Oh, no, here it is. Actually, it's right here. 81 degrees in 2010, no wind, no rain, and two teams combined to throw for 147 yards.
Oh, God.
Zero touchdowns and seven interceptions.
Passing. I forget what game before that had broken me, but I like literally didn't watch that game. So when I looked at I drove down to New Jersey because that was right around the time where I had just moved to Lancaster, so I didn't have any friends here. So I drove down to New Jersey to play flag football.
Oh, and, now are we shaming you now for playing flag football?
Yeah, you can shame me. That's fine. I had a really good game though. I scored like six times, but because I was still in football shape, I was like fresh out of high school senior football shape, so I was playing with a bunch of like 23 to 25 year old guys, and I was just like, oh, I was doing spark conditioning for the last year, so yeah. But anyway, not to toot my own horn too much. So
10 years ago, man. 11 years ago, man.
Yeah, it was 11 years ago. So yeah, I remember pulling up the game and just laughing my fucking ass off at it because I was like, I can't believe that I'm reading this right now. Like, it was just bad. So bad.
it's not. It's one of those things where it's like, I remember this happened to me. There's like a college basketball game where I saw it, and then this was like last year, 2 years ago. I think it was like NC State, Virginia Tech. Brad, you might know what game I was talking about, where they scored like 10 points in like the first half each, and I was like, this like the app has to be buggy, right? Like, there's no way these are the actual numbers that were put forth in this game.
Yeah.
I feel like that Panthers game was along those lines.
Okay. I did some research on the fumble. It was week two of 2008. In the first quarter, Kyle Orton threw a pass to Greg Olsen for a 2-yard loss. Thomas Davis forced a fumble, and John Beeson recovered it.
Ooh, that's a throwback.
Yeah. There's a lot of names on that list.
Yeah, that was back when Steve Smith was suspended still for punching Ken Luke into the face. Oh, Ken Lucas in the face too. I remember that stretch because I had no expectations for them to win, and they won both those games. I believe they won the Chargers.
Yeah, they started 2-0 that year.
Yeah, that was Brandon Lloyd before Brandon Lloyd was like actually a good receiver. He was just some special teams fuck.
And I can verify that was Greg Olsen's first fumble, because in 2007, his rookie year, he had no fumbles, and he only had two in 2008, and both were against the Panthers in week two.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, that was
the other one.
Well, I remember him saying at one point that he was like, I fumbled twice as like a rookie. I guess he wasn't technically a rookie, but I think it was the first year he played. And getting in like the doghouse over it, and he was like, never again will I fumble, so I'll just fall over.
He did not keep that promise.
Well, he fumbled again, but
he had seven career fumbles.
Yeah,
that's not actually very many, considering he played as long as he did, that's not too bad.
Yeah, especially since two of them came in the same game.
He did not have a fumble after the 2015 season.
Shit happens. I also can't blame him for fumbling when Chris Harris hit him, because Chris Harris used to run people over like a truck. So
yeah,
I miss that man. He was one of my favorite safeties.
Also used to comment on CSR.
Yes, he did.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes, he
That's
did.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Very, very briefly.
But, he yeah. did it very briefly because, as I'm sure this will shock you, Brian, but he dipped on us because people started getting too weird.
Wow, that's incredible. No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Crazy. Yeah,
he was only there for a couple of months at the most.
Greg Hardy sucks now, but
Greg Hardy doesn't count. Greg Hardy was funny as hell though, because he would do everything in like 37 point bold font.
Yeah, he was.
We renounced Greg Hardy.
Yeah. We renounced
Greg Hardy. This is a Greg Olsen show. We're talking about a different Greg
Olsen. We're talking about good Greg.
Sorry.
Not bad Greg.
Not bad Greg.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Also, real thing that I also want to bring up during Greg Olson's, like, the twilight of his career, like, not even twilight, but like when he was doing extremely well, his kid was going through some serious shit with their heart.
Yeah.
Young kid too. Like he created a foundation for that, for young kids with heart disease, and almost won Walter Payton Man of the Year award doing that.
Yeah, and as if you've already listened to the Thomas Davis episode, I said Thomas Davis is the only Panther to ever win Walter Payton Man of the Year, and as much as I said I would have more on that later, well, this is the part where I have more on that. It's absolute bullshit that Greg Olsen did not win Walter Payton Man of the Year. There were three finalists. It was Greg Olsen, Larry Fitzgerald, and Eli Manning. And Eli Manning and Larry Fitzgerald co-won the award. At what point the NFL didn't just say, you know what, screw it, let's give all three of them the award? I don't know why they didn't reach that conclusion. But Greg Olsen built a wing to a hospital for kids with heart birth defects. How is that not worthy of the Walter Payton Man of the Year award? I don't understand it.
It's also kind of insulting to be like, here are our three finalists, and it's like,
oh,
Greg Olsen.
Two of them won, yeah.
Yeah, it goes to both of the other two.
Yeah,
and
stupid.
I'm not to take away from Larry Fitzgerald and Eli Manning and what they do, but, you know, come on. And the next year he was nominated again, and he lost to J.J. Watt, which I get.
Yeah, I mean,
J.J. Watt raised like $40 million for Hurricane Harvey.
That's just unfair.
Relief. That's not, yeah, that's unfair. But he should have won it that year that Eli and Larry Fitz shared it. Like, that was Greg's year. But his charity is The Hardest Yard, and if you want to donate, you can go there and do that. He still does things for the Charlotte community. It's like he never left, and, you know, he does great work with kids who have heart defects. I can't remember the exact heart defect. But it's a very specific thing.
Yeah, it's super rare. I'm trying to find the name of it, but it's...
Yeah,
it's,
I am too.
Yeah, it's...
HLHS.
Hypoplastic left heart syndrome.
Ugh, that's just awful, man. It's like, yeah, kind of... It's one of those things where it's like, you can see why he did it, because, you know, like... Not a lot of people would have the financial means to take care of that for their child, especially a younger child, because, like, that's very specialized care. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's very specialized care. So I can't imagine that's fucking cheap, you know? Like, so for a lot of people, like, they have those issues come up, like, very early at birth. And, you know, most people who have a younger kid, these days around Greg Olsen's age, they're not rolling in the money, you know, like, so that kind of charity is very, very helpful for those people, especially in impoverished communities where, you know, they need the help. So like Greg Olson doing something like that to really like, you know, kind of help his story and his success really help others is just great. Like, I'm really happy that, I mean, I'm not happy that his kid had that happen, but I'm happy that he was able to take such a negative and turn it into a positive.
Yeah. In December of 2020, they announced the Atrium Health Levine Children's Hospital Hardest Yard Congenital Heart Center. So they built a children's congenital heart hospital in Charlotte.
It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that, you know, we talk about NFL players using their prestige and their money and their time and their name and everything. And that, like you said, they took the ultimate negative and turned it into a positive. Like as a dad of two kids, I can't imagine what it is like knowing that your child is born with a heart problem that may or may not allow it to survive. And you know, it's amazing that they were able to do what they've done to benefit kids, like you said, who have to go through that. I mean, there are a lot of people who just, they don't have Greg Olson money. And so it's thank God for people like Greg Olson and Carol Olson. We should probably give his wife some credit here too, because she is a big part of this as well. So, I mean, it's crazy that, we've had so many players in our franchise, and we're celebrating two on the same day that both have given so much to the community. Like it's amazing that we've been a franchise that has had these kind of players represent it.
Yeah. I mean, they really embrace Charlotte when they get there. A lot of these guys, it's a nice thing to see. I mean, you know, you could always end up with the shitty players who do shitty things. And unfortunately, Carolina has had at least one of those that there's two that I can think of.
Bad Greg.
Bad Greg, a certain other someone. You know, Carolina really did a good job of assembling a really high class group of people in Greg Olson's time as a Panther. So, you know, it's just nice. And I'm happy that Greg Olson's getting the recognition he deserves, because both he and Thomas Davis were definitely underrated during their NFL careers. And obviously they were two of the best in the league at their positions.
And we get Greg Olson in the broadcast booth too.
Oh yeah.
Yes, which is another great thing. He is going to kill at that job. He is going to be one of the top tier color guys on NFL broadcast. I think he's going to work for Fox, if I remember correctly.
He's coming for that Tony Romo money.
Yeah.
One last question to like wrap it up. Is Greg Olson a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
I think he should be.
Only because, to me, if to be a Hall of Famer, you either have to be far and away the best at your position for an extended period of time, like a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, you know, guys like that, or you have to be the first player ever to do something that's worthy of like being recognized. And I think being the first ever tight end to have three straight 1,000 yard seasons, I think that's what gets him in. Now, I don't think he'll get in. Like, I think he's going to be one of those that waits 8 years or so before he gets in. But I do think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's also in the top, I want to say 10 in receiving yards for a tight end in his career. And I think that alone should get him in.
I think he's like top three. That's what I
think he might be top three. I think that'll change with George Kittle and Travis Kelce.
Yeah, but when he retired, if he retired in the top five of a major statistical category, and he was on a team that was successful, like they went to the Super Bowl, like they didn't win, but they did go to the Super Bowl. They won the division three straight years. I think I think it's enough to get him in. I don't, he's not a first ballot guy, and it's going to be hard because, I mean, his contemporaries are Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski, because Gronk is getting in, you know, first ballot because all the Super Bowls. But I mean, I think Greg Olsen is up there. He is, he was at his peak. He was one of the best at his position. And I think that's good enough.
Yeah.
By the way, Greg Olsen is fifth. Is from, I mean, not counting the names that I don't recognize because I just pulled up all-time receiving leaders and I don't know who, like, Tony Martin is or, like, Mark Duper. So sorry, guys. But Greg Olsen, from as far as I can tell, is fifth all-time in tight end receiving yards. He has a commanding 199-yard lead on Rob Gronkowski. So.
Which he may be seventh because I think Gronk might retire because
again,
because I mean, they won the Super Bowl. So
yeah, Gronk and Graham, if they both play, will pass him. But as of right now, he's fifth.
Gronk probably won't retire. I think he's going to end up going to a place like Miami. But we'll see. But yeah, I think for me, it's just a matter of that. Greg Olsen was one of the centerpieces that kind of revolutionized the tight end position. Like, obviously, you know, there were people before his time, like Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez. But I think the way that Greg Olsen played the position, where he was kind of like a hybrid wide receiver slash tight end, and like upped his game as far as being a tight end, because he got to be a much better blocker throughout towards the end of his career. I think that that's enough to get him in the Hall of Fame, because you can make the argument that he had, that he kind of changed the game a little bit.
Is Tony Gonzalez in the Hall of Fame yet?
I think so.
If he's eligible, he's in. Like, he's not going to wait.
Like, yeah. If Tony Gonzalez is in the Hall of Fame, Greg Olsen will get in, because that's a very good comp.
Right.
So, I mean, I...
Tony Gonzalez is in the Hall of Fame.
So, yeah.
Tony Gonzalez is also sixth all-time in receiving yards, so he's got quite a bit more of a resume, but, like, not just tight ends, just, like, all-time.
Everything. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. But I mean, I think if Tony Gonzalez is in the Hall of Fame, I think Greg Olsen will get in the Hall of Fame. I think it'll be one of those. He waited a while to get in type things. Like 10 years from now, we'll be like, oh, Greg Olsen's finally going to get in. But I do think he'll get recognized.
And we'll make sure to do an episode to recap it in 10 years.
Yeah. When, yeah, exactly.
Any other ideas, thoughts, John?
Nah, I think we've hit everything on the Greg Olsen.
I agree. Brad?
No, love you, G-Reg.
Yep, definitely. Well, thank you for joining us for these special special editions of the Keep Sounding podcast. We are really looking forward to seeing Thomas Davis and Greg Olsen hang up their cleats as Carolina Panthers. Really happy with the both of them. Greg Olsen definitely deserves it. Thomas Davis definitely deserves it. It'll be a fun time. Hopefully they end up wearing matching outfits or something like that, as we said. So stay tuned, stay healthy. Keep an eye on our CSR broadcasts or our CSR content on Thursday, because we'll have plenty posted about Thomas Davis and Greg Olsen at that time. So thanks a lot for your time. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, and if you haven't listened to the Thomas Davis one yet, just keep listening, and eventually it'll start after this episode ends, because it's the next one in the little queue. But yeah, see you.
Also that.
Later.